Audrey, you go first.
Well, I just couldn't. We have a microphone there.
I don't know.
Well, I just written down these questions here as we began about the difference between the baptism of John and the baptism of Jesus. And I had two questions. Did those of John's baptism confess Jesus as the Son of God? And is that significant? And then, did John and his disciples baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And is that significant? That was just...
Yeah, I don't believe they did.
Is it significant?
I don't think it is. I think they were baptized on their obedience to John's commands, you know. And, of course, they were required to believe on Jesus when he came. So they were required to believe, take John's word for it, that a Messiah was coming, so to speak.
In the book, The Role of Women, that Marion Fox wrote that two-volume set, he's got an appendix about Aquila and Priscilla reasoning with Apollos, and he has a theory about what they discussed with him based on what the folks said in Acts 19, when they said, "We've not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." If the baptism of John was only for Jewish people, how could these people have not heard of the Holy Spirit? How is there any Jew who doesn't know the Holy Spirit exists? Now that doesn't seem to be what it could mean. So Marion Fox says it means we've not heard that the Holy Spirit had been poured out on people. And I just noticed that the Living Oracles translates it this way. He said to them, "Have you, on your believing, received the Holy Spirit?" And they replied to him, "No, we have not so much as heard whether the Holy Spirit is received." And so Marion Fox's suggestion was that these people had never heard of Pentecost, and that even Apollos, although he knew a lot more than these folks did, had not heard of Pentecost and what happened on Pentecost. What do you think about that suggestion?
Well, I think he's right that surely they had heard that there is a Holy Spirit, and I'm aware of that supplied word there is given in some translation. I think in the Revised Version it is, "We've not so much as the Holy Ghost given." And there might be something to that. I'm not sure about that. But you would think that a Jew who knew very much would know about the Holy Spirit, because it was certainly in the Old Testament, you know.
George Batty. Well, Johnny, you did a great job. I enjoyed your lesson. This is 2017. You need to update your illustration. If you offered $10 to baptize, not anybody going.
Oh, I don't know.
You need to raise it to 50 or 100.
I'm afraid there might be some takers here tonight.
Every time that I've preached on John's baptism, and I point out that it was for the remission of sins, many brethren take issue with that, and they say, "How can anybody have been forgiven of their sins before Jesus died on the cross and payment made by his shed blood?" And they draw the conclusion that nobody, it was impossible to be forgiven of your sins before the blood of Christ was shed. And yet, while making that statement, they never, the thought of David, who said in Romans chapter 4, "Blessed is the man whose iniquities have been forgiven," somehow they never connect the dots that David died a saved man before the shed blood of Christ. Jesus told sinners before he died, he said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And yet his blood hadn't been shed there. And I was wondering if you could maybe give a answer when someone starts to question, how could baptism be for the remission of sins before the death of Christ?
Well, of course, the ransom, so to speak, hadn't been paid, but it was good, just like I write a check to somebody over here and pay them, and they haven't actually received the money yet, but I've essentially negotiated the contract, might say. And I think that's the way it is. I think God has certainly had the power to forgive sins based upon their obedience under the law. If not, we've certainly a lot of lost people, if that's the case. I think you're right. I think that, you know, David said, blessed is the man whose sins are not, in other words, he's not held accountable. Sure. Yeah. That's a good point. Appreciate that.
Ron Corbin. Johnny, first back to what George spoke about, you know, Jesus forgave sin to people while he was living, right?
That's right.
And proved it by the miracles that he did. Maybe something would help to carry that over is the fact in the Old Testament, obviously, they were forgiven. But you might say they weren't forgotten. And then we have the basis of the shed blood of Jesus. I don't know if that helps, but it kind of fits. But here's my question. In your reading, did you read anything about, in Isaiah 66, I'll read the verses, of people applying this to the time of John's baptism. It says in Isaiah 66, verse 7, before she travailed, she brought forth, before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who have heard such a thing? Who have seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? I wondered in your reading, because you've read widely, of reading of anybody that applied those verses to the preparation for the church. The baptism of John, she prepared children before what? She brought forth. She was in travail before she brought forth. But on the day of Pentecost, in one day, a nation was brought into existence, and Zion, of course, was what? Completed. I was wondering if
I'd never heard that, never put that together, no. I never read that. That's a good thought, though.
Well, I've applied it to that, but I don't know if I was correct, so I was kind of asking to see what some other thoughts were on it.
I think that's probably likely. It's referred to as a royal nation, you know. So, holy priesthood, a royal nation. That'd be a nation born in one day.